Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Our Bible readings for today are from Psalm 66 and says these words, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you, they sing the praises of your name." And our second Bible reading is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. "Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'"
Well, hi, online church. It's my joy and privilege to speak to you today in a special message that I have for you, specifically for you as an online community. I want to say right at the start that we love our online community, and we continue to seek ways that we can engage and serve and enable you as church to be the church. Thank you to those who've reached out for us in the last little while, and a special shout out to Belinda. Thanks for your encouragement, your email, really appreciate it. So easy to contact us by info@seedschurch if you want to reach out to us in any particular way, ways we can help and serve, ways we can help you be church even better. It's always puzzled me the response of the 10 lepers in today's reading from Luke 17. I don't know if you've thought much about it. You probably have. It's a strange response. Jesus pronounces 10 to be healed and only one returns to say thank you. Some of you heard the story before. Jesus enters a town, is approached by 10 lepers. The simple fact that they come close enough to communicate says a lot. Lepers were under no doubt that they needed to remain aloof from people. They need to remain away. But pause to think about that for a moment. I mean, what they know and what they've heard about Jesus makes them want to approach him. Leprosy in those days refers to a wide range of conditions, a vast number of skin diseases, but the possibility of those conditions being contagious meant isolation until it was proved otherwise. In short, you are a social outcast, relegated to the far reaches of the town and untouchable. Nobody wants to know you. The leper's cry really is quite pitiful. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Something I'd probably say that Jesus had grown used to hearing in his ministry. What is it they want? We all know the answer to that. They want to be healed. Even though they don't say it, it's what we know they want. Who doesn't want to be healed? Of course, they don't want to be like that. They don't want to live like that. They don't want to remain in a leper colony, living a half-shadow life. They want to be whole, to rejoin society. You can feel the compassion of Jesus coming through the words on the page. And here we see his heart. Here we find love swelling up in the hearts of Jesus. And our response to Jesus too, as we see his compassion and his mercy, his response of mercy. He tells them, "Go and show themselves to the priests as the Old Testament law demands." But if you know anything about the Old Testament law, you would know that you do not go to the priest unless you have been healed, unless it was a done deal, unless you were sure that you've been cured. Jesus is asking for an act of faith, the trust, and he's calling them to do that, to trust and to have faith. If they believe Jesus, they will obey him. So think about that for a moment, will you? Just think about that. From the rest of the story, we realize that as the lepers go, they are healed. It's a story of grace. It's an act of mercy on the part of Jesus. The healing allows these men to return to a normal life, though we need to read on to see the full effect of life and life in abundance. And so one of the men breaks from the group. Shouting that he's been healed, instead he turns around and returns to Jesus. Full of praise, he falls at Jesus' feet, offering thanksgiving and appreciation for his cleansing. Now Luke, the writer, notes that the man is a Samaritan, which means he comes from racial roots that in the past characterized insensitivity towards God. This foreigner, this outsider, the Samaritan is a word often used to mean pagan or heathen. He has taken the time to stop and to praise God for his work in his life. And if you're a Jew, that is shocking to hear. Where are the other nine? Asked Jesus. Now we've read forward, so we know the answer to that question. They're not there. They've gone. They didn't return to say thank you. And here we find the climax to the whole story. Jesus then issues the high point saying of the whole narrative. And he tells the man, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, Jesus could well be indicating that although 10 lepers have experienced the blessing of bodily hearing, only one person has turned to establish a connection with Jesus that indicates the presence of salvation. Not only was he healed in body, but also in spirit, we could surmise. That story in the life of Jesus speaks to us on so many levels. But I want to guide your thinking into one part. And so today I want to focus our attention as we walk into Holy Week, as we walk into the week preparing for Jesus to be crucified, to suffer and crucified, and to die and then to be resurrected. I want to focus our attention on gratitude. It's one of the big themes in the episode of this life of Jesus. It's a strong theme running through the biblical witness, and I had no problems finding any amount of passages to preach on that refer to gratitude. So I want to focus our minds on gratitude at least once per year. And so here it is. For those of us who are online, here it is. I want to talk to you about gratitude. Gratitude is the missing quality, the missing noun of our era. Gratitude is not in vogue, it's not kosher, and more to the point, it's not even desired in our society. Gratitude, though, is the bedfellow of a blessed life. And you and I, my friends, we all live a blessed life. Don't even think that you don't. And if I was honest with you today, and I am, I would have to say that I'm not always grateful for what I have and the place that I'm in terms of everything. I'm not talking about location. I think this is one of the downsides to most of us who live a driven life, that gratitude is in short supply and its close cousin, contentment, is pretty scarce too. Gratitude, I wonder, is out of vogue in society because it comes against, I must have the bigger and the better. And which is the world in which we live in, which that's prevalent all around us. Gratitude says, I'm thankful for what I have, and I don't need to hunger after any more. Now, you don't need me to tell you the world has trouble with that. And that's not how we are encouraged to live. More to the point, we are to desire to have a new experience, a new position, a new whatever. As soon as the current one gets tatty around the edges, we're told to desire the new. But I wonder if at a deeper level, if gratitude is a full-blown response to fear. I wonder if we as a nation are largely driven by our fear. Of course, it's expressed in different ways, bigger gates, better security, but also our consumerism. Is it the fear of running out? Of not having enough? Of being left behind? Gratitude says, I have enough things and I am satisfied with that. And there's almost shockwaves when someone lives like that. Webster's Dictionary defines gratitude as the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. And we can see by the response to Jesus to the one leper who came back that, and the nine who didn't, this is what Jesus was looking for in their lives, and I assume in our lives too. And when I think about it, I feel like I love the resonance of that word. Gratitude has a ring to it. It has a particular tone about it that sounds warm, and although it does remind me of something that I should be like, and I'm not often like. I don't always live a life of gratitude. I live a life of, well, I have this and I want that. I want more. I desire more. And I'm challenged by people who live simply, and I'm shamed by what I see other Christians do, particularly in other lands who live simply and how they live. I'm conscious that many times my motivations are that of greed. If you look up anything online about gratitude, you'll find the prayer from Meister Eckhart. And he says this: if the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that would suffice. I agree with his saying. I just think it's lacking slightly. Saying is not enough. Saying has to be followed by doing. We have to live as people of gratitude, not just think about it, but act it out. Not just believe it, but live it. Gratitude is the antidote for greed and the cure for fear. It's God's design for us, and it's been marred by sin. Some would suggest, the noted theologian Karl Barth amongst them, that ingratitude is actually sin. I read, you know, during the week, the two psychologists in the United States wrote an article about an experiment they were conducting on gratitude and its impact on well-being of people. So the study split several hundred people into three different groups, and all the participants were asked to keep a daily diary of their thoughts. The first group kept a daily diary of events that occurred during the day without being told specifically to write about either good or bad things. The second was told to record their unpleasant experiences. And the last group was instructed to make a daily list of things for which they were grateful. The results of the study indicated that daily gratitude exercises result in a higher reported level of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy. In addition, those in the gratitude group experienced less depression, less stress, were more likely to help others, exercise more regularly, and made greater progress towards achieving their personal goals. That has to tell us something profound. This is not a psychological, theological sermon that says, pull yourself up by your bootstraps by any means. This is a sermon that points our thoughts towards Jesus. We have so much to be grateful for, but in particular, Jesus' saving love in our lives. That we, yes, even us, have been invited into what God is doing in the world, what God has been doing in all of history, and graciously offers us a new future, and graciously offers us our chance to be part of that too. There is so much, my friends, to be grateful for. We already have so much. We already benefit from so much. Think about this. You and I have free access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that I talked about last week. It is the most outstanding thing. Let me give you a simple example. You know, if you want to see me, if you want to make an appointment with me, you could do that, but you'd have to wait a little while. Not that I'm all that important, but it's just I have a lot of demands on my time, and I have lots of different things on my plate, and I need to get through a whole pile of stuff. But if you want to talk to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's a different thing altogether. All you have to do is say, Jesus, can we have a chat? And he says, sure. What's on your mind? Instant, immediate access to the Savior of the world, the one and only, the one who knows your name, who is concerned about your well-being, who has a plan for your life, if only we would respond. And the good thing is that you don't have to be a leper to realize just how good Jesus is. So my friends, today marks the beginning of Holy Week, a week where we consciously now turn our attention towards Jesus' journey towards the cross and his suffering and his death and his resurrection on our behalf. So in honoring Jesus, in putting him first, let's use the power of the Holy Spirit to be a grateful people. How about saying thank you every week, every day this week, more than asking? How about making a list of things that we are grateful for this week? How about responding in gratitude and praise towards the situations we face that annoy us and irritate us? I wonder what difference that would be. I suspect a lot. And more to the point, how about doing that towards the Lord? How about living a life of consciousness, of gratitude to all we have that we enjoy from the hands of Jesus? You know, graciousness becomes you. And with it in your life, you become truly beautiful. And who doesn't want to be that? Let me pray. And let's think more about gratitude in our life. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your honor towards us, your mercy to us. And while we're not lepers, we can still experience your grace and your goodness. We pray that we can respond this week with our hearts filled with gratitude. May we know the things, deep things inside of us, which we can be thankful for. And may they bubble to the surface this week more than anything else, Lord Jesus. Prepare us as we walk into this Holy Week. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.